On Saturday, December 31st, we'll have our New Year's Eve service at 6 p.m. You can start your New Year's Eve with Bethel, then meet up with family and friends to bring in the new year in your own special way. Sunday services on New Year's Day will take place at 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Holy Communion will be served at both services. Plan now to spend time in worship at Bethel Deliverance International Church this holiday season. All services will be held at Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information, visit betheldeliverance.org or call 215-885-2585.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church.
In the end, it will work out for your good. And say, I believe God for a miracle.
Vision causes us to give God preparatory praise. You have to see yourself victorious. Vision means that you see yourself. Those pilgrims, those explorers that permeated this great country in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century, they saw the people coming behind them. Those settlers that migrated from the east to San Francisco for the gold rush of the 1800s, they saw themselves getting land with gold. What drove them across the country? Vision. Do you have a vision this morning? See, people that are sad don't have a vision. So I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to beat up on you. I'm not going to call you a sad sack and try to insult you. I'm going to tell you, you get a vision. When you get a vision, you're going to get happy. It gives you something to live for, something to press towards. You won't ask God, why am I going through? But you'll say, God, I'm going through because. The vision must be written. The vision must be plain. The vision is for an appointed time. And the vision will come. Tell somebody it's coming.
It's coming.
Woo! Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Let me tell you something. Several months ago, in visionary form, the Abrahamic form of a statement that's given before the event, God said to me, begin to teach the people to turn their umbrellas upside down to catch what I'm about to pour out. And I started teaching those principles to help you turn your umbrella around. Now he didn't start doing it yet, but he's going to start doing it. There are two things he has to do. Get us to turn it around in expectation. And let me show you your umbrella. God can't fill what you don't bring before him. See, some of you are thinking cars and houses and money. But he wasn't talking about cars, houses, and money. He's talking about him. He said, I'm about ready to pour out my spirit. I'm going to pour my spirit out in such a way that you are going to have so much joy that the devil can't bring you down, that sickness won't be able to attach itself to you, that sorrow is going out the window, that pain will be gone from your body, that fear will leave you in a heartbeat. Now, here's the thing you have to realize from this series of instructions from Habakkuk. These 5 points, vision written, vision plain, visions for an appointed time, vision will come, and then wait for it. With God, there's always something involved called human action. And this is identified by the next statement. After God says it will surely come, it will not tarry. But notice in verse 4, he adds what I call the human intervention. Now, the human intervention is necessary to bring the vision to pass. The vision was Abraham, you're going to have a son. But if Abraham did not have sexual intimacy with his wife, they would not have had the child. The only child born without a human sperm cell is Jesus. And that was necessary so he could die for our sins. So he didn't tell Abraham to go and rub her belly and just, you know, say a few words over her. He knew Abraham had to go home and get busy. Why? Because whenever God promises you something, there's always human intervention. Because God has entered into a partnership with humanity. It goes all the way back to Genesis. When he makes this entire creation, you cannot tell me that God could not have run his world. You cannot tell me that the El Shaddai could not have run his world. But he makes man and then gives man the responsibility of chief operating officer while he remains the chief executive officer. In other words, there is human participation with the vision. This is identified by the statement in verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. In other words, there is a limitation to the involvement of the human. With all of these instructions about the vision, God is saying you still have the capacity to fail. So no matter how great the vision is, you still possess the ability to drop the ball, Abraham. You see, Abraham was supposed to tell Sarah, no, I'm not going into Hagar. I'm not married to Hagar. She's not my wife. I'm not going into her. Now, woman, this wasn't the 21st century. She wasn't going nowhere. You say that now, you come home, you get a letter from a lawyer. But Abraham shows that he's easily manipulated by the tears. She's probably, Abraham, come on now. Just look, I'm tired. You've been trying to get me pregnant ever since you heard that voice. And it ain't happening. So go on, get her. So notice what God says. When you run into these situations and you realize you can't change it, notice what he says. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. This is the first time this word faith is used, and it's used with Habakkuk. And it's used for vision. The first time the statement, the just shall live by faith, is used, this is where Paul gets his idea that he uses in the New Testament three other times. He got it from Habakkuk. This proves Paul's a student of the Old Testament. Only he's bringing a Christological application. You cannot realize vision unless you live by faith. I tell my congregation, I'm in school now for a doctorate in forensic psychology because I ain't pastoring for the rest of my life. And I love the study of the forensics. I just have to turn in this week a legal brief on this guy that's a sexually violent predator and how, you know, it applies to the law and all this other stuff. I have to do all, and this has got nothing to do with theology. It's hard. The instructor just says, read four chapters. Each chapter has about 125 pages, and you got to do it before the end of the week and then summarize what you put in a paper that's got to have at least another 8 or 9 references. The paper's got to be 9 to 10 pages. It's hard. But see, when I finish, because the industry knows what it took to get that degree, they can have confidence in my ability to stand in the court system when the judge says, Dr. Lambert, I need you to take John Doe, who's been convicted of a certain crime, and determine whether or not he should get parole, civil commitment, or jail time. He knows that I've gone through the conditions to get that. It ain't honorary. He knows that when he gets my deposition, he knows that it's from someone who has been through something. So the just have been through something. Because if you have not been through something, you will never be able to stand before the devil and say, you're trying to take away my vision. But if I look back, I can see that I've been through something, and you can't have my present or my future because my past proves that God is with me. Let me show you. When God finishes talking to Habakkuk, he's saying to him that I'm in control of the nations of the world. And I know sometimes it looks like he isn't, but like I said a couple of weeks ago, God is in control. I wrote something on that Facebook thing that my media team says I should do periodically to keep in touch with people, and I absolutely hate it, but I do it because I'm told to do it, and you should always submit to people. And I wrote something about the election, and I said, for the children of God, we should not become overly concerned. You know, just pray and ask God who to vote for. I said, because God knows who's going to win. And someone wrote me back, yeah, God's in control, and he's going to do what's right, but it sure ain't Trump. God wanted King Nebuchadnezzar to see how great he is. That's what he wanted. But he knew that Nebuchadnezzar had a bunch of other gods that would keep him from seeing the one true and living God. So he told Nebuchadnezzar to go and bring the children of Israel into captivity. And here's what God is saying. Since I can't bring you to me, I'll bring my people to you. Now, I know the rest of my people are going to flake out and backslide and become worshipers of the Babylonian gods. But I got four guys that are so wrapped up in me that when you get them down there, you won't be able to turn them. Now, when you get them in there, you're going to see that they have a whole different lifestyle. And they're going to challenge you right off the bat. They're going to tell you they ain't eating your food. They ain't eating your ribs, your chitlins. They ain't eating your fat back or your city dress salt pork. They ain't going to eat it because they know it's been sacrificed to idols. And they're going to be bold enough to take that stand. And I'm going to honor them, so when they just eat those vegetables, they're going to have better looking skin than all the people that ate the pork. Yeah. Amen. And so the Bible says that's exactly what happened. He said, but also these young men, when you split them up, I'm going to have three of them that refuse to bow down to your image. And you're going to want to extinguish their life by throwing them into fire. But the reason why the fire won't burn is because there's a fire inside of them. And the fire inside of them will extinguish the fire around them. And then I'm going to step into the situation, join with them, and prove to you that I'm God. And so when he was done with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, there ain't no other God but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'm going to have another one. I'm going to have another one that I put so much wisdom in that he's going to interpret the dreams that your wise men can't. And when Daniel was finished, Nebuchadnezzar said, if anybody worships anybody other than the God of Daniel, they got to answer to me. You see, God needs to let people know that he's God. And since they won't come to him, he's going to send us to them. And they're going to be in situations that seem like they're above us. But if you got a vision of perfection in God, if you got a vision of victory in God, don't worry about where he sends you. Just be faithful to who he is when he sends you there.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.